when you see in your missal, for shorter version, read brackets, you know you're out of luck if I'm the one that's there this Sunday. In the time since my ordination, I think I've read one shorter version of the gospel. It seems like we're cheating, I think, sometimes if we go just for the couple of little snippets. The gospels are interesting things. There's four of them, as you know. And the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are known as the synoptic gospels. They're considered to come from the same common source. There are certain things that scholars have found in them that lead them to believe the same source material was used for composing them. We don't know what that source material is. Scholars just call it Q as a general term. But they have a lot in common. The Gospel of John tends to come from different sources, they think. But despite their common root and their common nature, they're written for different audiences. And this year, and indeed the past couple weeks, we've been going through the same part of the Gospel of Matthew. We've been going through Matthew 5, and we've just been working our way through the Sermon on the Mount and the different parts. And the Gospel of Matthew was written for a Jewish audience. And Matthew would actually be a little bit surprised, I think, if he found how it was that Scripture has come to be known since the time that it was put down. I don't think he probably thought he was writing new books that would be tacked on to what he saw as the totality of Scripture. Indeed, he would be surprised to find out that we are a people with a left and a right-hand side to our Bibles, that we open it up and we look at one being one part, the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, and the other being the New Testament and the New Scriptures. But that is where we find ourselves, and over the course of time, we have changed. The church grew not just from Jewish followers, but from Gentiles as well, and that caused some difference in developments. In the very, very early parts of the church, people considered themselves a new understanding. They thought Jesus was the Messiah, and they thought they were going to continue living a Jewish lifestyle. And many of them would go to temple and observe the Sabbath, and then on Sunday they would have the breaking of the bread around the altar. As Gentiles started to come in and join, it didn't make as much sense for them. They didn't have the same Hebrew heritage, so it changed a little bit as time went on. But the gospel message that we hear today in this part of the Sermon on the Mount is a little bit harder sometimes to swallow for a New Testament people. It was great a couple weeks ago. I mean, we got the Beatitudes, and oh, wow, if we're suffering, if things are hard, that we're blessed. I mean, you know, we have a very special place. God holds us close in his heart. And last week, I mean, we're the light of the world. I mean, we're the salt of the earth. It doesn't get any better than that. And then this week, all of a sudden, we, the New Testament people, the people that like to think of ourselves as those of the new covenant, this new understanding, have Jesus, and he sort of ends the party a little bit, and he says, oh, by the way, I'm not coming to abolish that old law. You know, we're not getting rid of it. I'm here to fulfill it. It's like, oh, well, that's a little different. You know, we like to think of ourselves as liberated. We like to think of ourselves as part of this new understanding of life and the faith, and it feels good, and it's all about happy things, and we're going to set those old rules, those old laws aside a little bit. And Christ says, you know, slow down there, Sparky. We're not throwing all that away. We're gonna keep this going. But I think it's important to look at what it is that Christ is saying. Because he's saying, I'm not here to abolish, I'm here to fulfill. And I think what that means is Jesus is saying, I'm going to try to awaken you to a new understanding. I'm going to try to help you grow and mature and develop in what it actually means when you hear these laws. Because if we were living as, he says, we have to surpass the Pharisees. We have to surpass, the common understanding of the law of the day. And it sounds like that might be a hard thing to do. Like, wow, we have to be even more righteous. We have to be even more holy. We have to do an even better job than the religious leaders of the time. But I think Jesus is calling us to a conversion, to a life where we look at ourselves, we look at what makes us tick, and we look at the little things, the fundamental things, the day-to-day interactions over that whole general broad picture. Because really, if it was just about the Ten Commandments, I mean, if it was just listening to those rules and living by the letter of the law, that's not that hard to do. Okay, I could go through my life pretty easily and probably not murder someone. You know, for most of us in this room, I'm imagining, we'll go through the course of our life without causing violence and taking away another person's life. Check. Done. All right. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, check. I could do that one. Thou shalt not, you know, we go down the list. I mean, these things are there. But what Christ is saying to us in this picture is, okay, I'm saying not to kill, and you're proud that you've got that down. But it goes down more than just that. It goes down to not just taking away someone's life, but talking ill of them. It goes down to wanting ill for them. It goes down to how you interact with them. And he's really rooting us in a gospel of love, is what this is. I mean, and it's showing us how hard love can be. Because it is saying that it's not just enough to follow those letters and be very literal about the law. It has to become part of who we are. It has to become part of our identity. It has to become part of the way that shapes our interactions with one another and with God. And that's a hard thing to do. I mean, we all know and we see, and maybe at times in our lives, we've been the people who say, okay, there's the checklist morality. There's a checklist way in which we live our life. I go to church on Sunday. That pleases God. I say my prayers. That pleases God. I'm going to do a novena for the next 9 days. That's really going to get me some good points. I mean, the reality is, God doesn't need us to be here today to make God happy. I mean, we have to really understand, you know, it's not going to give God some greater fulfillment and some greater purpose in being the creator of all the universe because we came here on Sunday. God wants us here on Sunday. God commands us to remember the Sabbath because God desires relationship. And because God knows that it's good for us. Because God knows that it's important for us to take time to set aside, to make it sacred, to mark it sacred, to reflect in our day-to-day lives, to evaluate how it is that we're living and how it is that we're interacting and what it is that is happening and going on in our day-to-day existence. So we come here and it helps us. And we come here and it helps us grow in relationship. It's just as it would be with our friends and our family. I mean, if we have someone that lives further away, we do things. We try to email. We send pictures. We send cards. We talk on the phone. We try to keep that relationship going by keeping our communication and our dialogue open with one another. And that's what God calls us to. So it's not that checklist morality that we showed up on church on Sunday. I'm a good person. I did my prayers. All right. Put the envelope in the basket. I fulfilled my commitment. I'm a saint. Because the reality is we walk out these doors and we go forth. And our hope is that we are changed and we are nourished and we are inspired and we think about ourselves in new and exciting ways each week, that as we walk out the doors of this chapel, we go forth and we interact with people in different ways, that we are reminded of our gospel calling again each and every week, and we are taught that the letter of the law is about calling us towards love, and the gospel message is about calling us to love one another. So Jesus this week is focusing on these old laws, and he's saying, yes, they're important, but think of them this way. Think of them in ways of how you interact with others and what it means as you have an experience. And that's not always going to be an easy thing for us to do for certain, but it will always add fulfillment, it'll always add purpose, and it'll always help us to realize when we do so that we are fulfilling God's gospel. It changes us, I think. It takes a long time, and I'm still working on it every single day myself, believe me. I've got a long way to go. But it takes a long time and slowly and incrementally to try to focus on the way that we think about things, about the way we interact with people, about our attitude when we get out of bed, when we've been on hold for a long time and had to hit 17 numbers to get to the person that we want to talk to, when we're up at the counter at the airport and we've been told that our flight has been canceled and we want that person behind the desk to make all the snow go away and make it warm and take the ice off the planes and change federal flight rules so we can get on that plane and get to where we need to go, and they can't. We have a choice in those situations. How am I going to interact with you? How am I going to talk to you? What is going to bring me to peace? What is going to help us foster peace in relationship? And it starts small. But if we focus on our lives, if we focus on our prayer, if we focus on our community, and we try to create a sense of harmony, in harmony, small things grow. And in harmony, those things develop, and it becomes part of our identity. It becomes part of our nature. And incrementally, we become more spirit-filled. We become closer to those people that God has called us to be. My sisters and brothers, I invite you to stand now. Together we'll profess our faith. The Nicene Creed is found on the inside cover. We believe in one God,
Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen, We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ.